Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. First up, LQ updates. As you know if you listened to last week's podcast, LinuxQuestions.org recently exhibited at LinuxWorld UK in London. The show was once again great, and I'd like to thank UK Linux for sponsoring the .org village, and that's where LQ participated. We had a record-tying mod turnout with 6 mods from 3 different continents, and including 2 mods I had never previously met. It's always great to be able to hang out with the mods in person, and the dedication that the mod team continually shows is nothing short of awesome. It's also great to be able to meet members and Linux enthusiasts in general. The London Expo is a bit smaller than the ones in the US, but every Linux world I've attended has really contained a good mix of people to talk and also to learn from. One downside to the UK show compared to all the other expos I've been to is the complete lack of free connectivity. In the end, I actually ended up paying a per-day fee just to use one of the local access points that the conference hall had set up. But at all the other Linux worlds, if you're in the .org space, you get a 1 free IP address. That's really the only downside, though, and I got to see London. I actually took a side trip to Dublin, so overall, a great show, a great experience, and I look forward to once again participating next year. Now, on to the news. The first story I have is access to release open source application framework. As the title announced, Access has announced its plans to release an application framework to the open source community under the Mozilla Public License. Security features that extend the Linux kernel are also planned for release under the GPL. The framework will be released before the end of the year and will be the industry's first open source mobile Linux application framework for commercial use. From the article, quote, developed as part of the Access Linux platform, the application framework has been designed specifically to meet the requirements of mobile phones and devices. In addition to providing a set of services to install and manage applications, the application framework from Access can integrate communications between applications, enabling a seamless user experience for music, messaging, and other advanced features. The application framework is also designed to enhance application security to prevent unauthorized use of phone services or tampering with critical systems data. As part of its efforts to help grow the mobile Linux market and foster a global ecosystem, Access has decided to contribute its application framework to the open source community. By open sourcing the application framework, Access's goal is to help speed the development and adoption of mobile Linux phones and devices while taking the first step to help prevent fragmentation. The next step in preventing fragmentation will be to work with industry standards organizations such as the Linux Phone Standards Forum and OSDL to determine how they may adopt the application framework. End quote. I got a chance to play with ALP, which is the Access Linux platform, at a recent Linux World, I believe it was the one in Boston, and while it wasn't quite ready for prime time then, that was a good 9 months or so ago now, so I would be interested to see how far they've come since then. It does seem, by the looks of this release and a couple related releases, that it may be ready for prime time now. On a related note, Motorola is already starting to release some mainstream Linux-based phones, and other companies are following. I do not believe those are, though, based on ALP. While I've not heard any definitive plans yet, it's very possible we may end up with a Linux-based Trio at some point, and I'm really pulling for that one. I already like the Trio, and having Linux and GTK Plus on it would be fantastic. For those of you not too familiar with the mobile space, Access was what used to be Palm Source, which was spun off from Palm. Palm does the hardware. Palm Source did the software. They're now called Access, so that's why I believe there could be a Trio phone here. Regardless of that, I'd expect a large amount of growth for Linux in the mobile space over the next 2 to 3 years, and this move by Access should help to foster an active developer community, much like the one that Palm OS has going now. The next story I have is Oracle and Unbreakable Linux. This, as it turns out, is quite a big story that's just been making sweeping headlines across the industry. I'm going to kind of break it down into 3 pieces, and it'll kind of give you an idea of how my opinion of things changed as a day went by. So it looks like some of the rumors, at least, were partially true. While Oracle is not going to release their own distribution, they are going to be offering support for RHEL. From the article, quote, I'm here at Oracle Open World, and I'm a bit shocked by what I'm seeing. Oracle, longtime partner to Red Hat, is rolling out the next phase of its Unbreakable Linux program designed to kill Red Hat and Novell, whatever Larry Ellison might say to the contrary. With partners like Oracle, who needs competitors? Now, Oracle will say that it's offering a level of support unmatched by Red Hat, and it will also say that this program is not designed to kill Red Hat. Maybe. I talked with some Oracle employees, and they were convincing that some Oracle customers have complained about Red Hat's service and support. End quote. The first thing that came to my mind on this one is that it's interesting to see a company like Oracle pitching their solution as a low-cost one, as they're typically one of the most expensive solutions available. This move does seem to further validate that open source is good for the customer, however. They get their choice of support with much lower migration pain than with a proprietary solution. Whether Oracle is able to actually offer better support for a Red Hat product than Red Hat themselves, that remains to be seen, but this move should have a definitive impact on the market, and even if it's just from a Wall Street perspective. First, in the short term, I'd actually expect RHEL sales to go up. It should also impact how Red Hat does business. I've heard an increased amount of grumbling about Red Hat support recently, and hopefully this will serve as a wake-up call for that. And note that I don't necessarily think that Red Hat support is bad, it's just that I've heard increasing the number of complaints, and as they get more and more clients buying RHEL, you would expect the complaint number to go up. I'm just not sure if it's currently going up linearly or more than that. And Red Hat also seems to be losing focus a little bit. Fedora is really still struggling in my opinion, and I don't think it's getting the uptake that they've expected. I'd also expect this move by Oracle to potentially impact pricing. On the low end, I do think that $7.99 per year is indeed a little bit too expensive for a minimally supported Linux install, and of course you can get the RHEL ES with no support for $3.49 also. And actually that's not no support, it's just installation support, 30 days, email only, nothing after that. We'll see if that price comes down at all with the release of RHEL 5. Also, Oracle is offering maintenance without support, and as you just get the patches, you don't get support. That is something a lot of clients want, and something Red Hat hasn't offered since Red Hat Linux quite some time ago. I'd like to see that product return to the Red Hat suite. Something along the lines of maybe $75 per year per server seems fair, really anywhere in between $60 and in that range. Note that Oracle is also offering a free binary release, and that's free as in gratis, which is something I don't expect Red Hat to follow on, nor do I think they need to at all. Now Red Hat, for their part, has responded to this with an unfakeable Linux jab, and you can get that on the homepage of their site if you're interested at redhat.com. In the end, the enterprise Linux space is definitely heating up now, which should be good for Linux itself, and also good for users. I suspect that in the short term and midterm, it will also be good for Red Hat. The one loser here could be Novell, who has struggled on executing what I think could be a solid plan. How much longer they can afford to do that remains to be seen. And now the second bit of the story, and this was after I had a little bit of time to think about it. After thinking about it, I still think Novell was probably the biggest loser here, not Red Hat. As Unbreakable Linux is basically a RHEL clone, it serves to further validate RHEL as the enterprise standard. I think that will likely make selling non-RHEL solutions more difficult. Novell is going to have to be really compelling to get new business now. I had wondered if Red Hat would lower prices in response to this Oracle move, as I mentioned, but CEO Matthew Zulick has gone on record as saying they will not lower prices. We'll see if they keep that stance over the next two quarters or so, and if they keep that stance with the release of RHEL 5. I also still feel that Red Hat should bring back the updates-only product. They really lost a lot of fans and a lot of supporters, and even a lot of goodwill when they dropped the Red Hat Linux product so suddenly. But I think if they pitch it right, many of them would come back. While RHEL is nice, it is out of the price range for many SMBs, and that's small and medium businesses. If I were Red Hat, that's not a market I would want to let another Linux company get a solid footing in, and as of now, really, no Linux company has any real dominance in that space. With the history that Oracle has, One has to wonder if one of the main objectives of this announcement was to tank the Red Hat stock and make it an attractive acquisition target, and they've acquired quite a few large companies using various tactics over the last year or so, from PeopleSauce to J.E. Edward and to Siebel. The stock did indeed tank almost 25% on the news, but it has been slowly chipping its way back up now. Based on that dip, I'd say Red Hat has announced a $325 million stock buyback. If Oracle is in the Linux distro business for the long haul, you have to wonder how much penetration they can get from outside their current customer base. While this is a profitable segment for Red Hat, it's certainly no death knell if they lose it. Oracle seems to have put themselves in an odd position on this one. If they do gain wild success and end up killing Red Hat, which I'd like to note I do feel is very unlikely, they'll end up losing the base of what they've based their product on. I'd guess that this is all a result of this being more of an emotional reaction to the Red Hat Chaebol acquisition as opposed to a well-thought-out business decision. An Oracle appliance that came with RHEL and Oracle pre-installed with support 100% done by Oracle would have been a much better solution, in my opinion, but that's just not Larry Ellison's style. Moving on to the third piece of the story, and as I mentioned when I started this is really turning out to be a much hotter topic than I had anticipated. I've been personally contacted from a variety of journalists and even some analysts at Merrill Lynch, which is something that rarely happens to the number that it happens. I'll occasionally get one or two or maybe three people on a single story contacting me, but the contacts on this one has just been through the roof. So expanding on some of my previous comments, looking at the numbers closer, it seems that Oracle directly or indirectly accounts for about 15% of the RHEL business. And as I said, that's substantial, but definitely not devastating to lose. Also, on the pricing note, it should be noted that no enterprise customer pays anywhere near the published rate for RHEL. The price that they post on the website or in their documentation is the price you get if you purchase a single license and have no existing relationship with Red Hat. Having dealt with Red Hat on behalf of many companies in the past, depending on the quantity you get, the discounts can be significant. Moving back to Oracle on pricing, I'm still not convinced their customers are that price sensitive to the Linux bit of the equation. Looking at a fully loaded Oracle plus RHEL solution for a quad processor box, and you end up coming up with roughly $200,000. Even at the list price, the Linux part of that is close to $2,000. Oracle's only supported on RHEL AS, and that's either $1,500 or $2,500, depending on the support level that you choose. But either way, it's about 1% of the total cost. You have to wonder from there if Oracle customers will start looking closer at Oracle pricing in general. In the end, this could result in those customers asking a couple of hard questions that end up driving the price of the other Oracle products down. So net-net, it could actually be a loss for Oracle here. On another cost kind of related note, most external applications that any enterprise is going to be using are going to be certified against either RHEL or SLES, which is the SUSE Novell offering. Until, and really indeed if, those certifications are also applied directly to the Oracle product, it's always possible that odd and really hard to track down bugs could be encountered. The same goes with any internally developed application. The entire QA process will have to begin from scratch on the Oracle product. Even though it's based on RHEL, it isn't RHEL, and they've kind of admitted they're going to be doing additional backports and security fixes, and I even saw feature additions, which would kind of be crazy. And additionally, if you already have an install base of RHEL and then add some Oracle, all new QA will need to be done twice to ensure things work reliably and work as expected. That QA cost alone, along with the uncertainty of how well Oracle will even be able to support RHEL long-term, may keep many customers with Red Hat, at least until those questions about Oracle support have been ironed out. It should be interesting to see if vendors like BEA and IBM and others certify against the Oracle product. I know Ubuntu is also trying to move into the server enterprise space, and in my opinion, and I've said this a couple times in the podcast before, I think 3 is the absolute maximum number of Linux vendors that many enterprise application vendors will be willing to certify. Now, who those 3 will be remains to be seen, and whether they'll include RHEL and Oracle in the end as one remains to be seen also, but I doubt it. In the end, and as I've mentioned a couple times now, I think this move really validates the open source model in general. The backing of Oracle at this level should rapidly further the uptake of Linux in the enterprise space, even if it's not via an Oracle solution. People just don't want to be beholden to a single vendor any longer, and transitioning from RHEL to Oracle, or Oracle to RHEL, or even using a mix of the two is going to be much easier and much less expensive than completely switching platforms, say from Windows to Linux. The real winner here is the consumer. The last story I have, and this is kind of just a late-breaking story, is Novell and Microsoft Collaborate. So as if the recent Oracle Red Hat talks weren't interesting enough, Novell today announced that they will be collaborating with Microsoft. While some people seem to think this may have been a reaction to the recent Oracle announcement, I can't see any way that this was thrown together that fast. If I had to guess, I'd say the talks for this deal were ongoing even as the Oracle rumors were starting. The open letter from Novell and Microsoft is missing financial details, as you may have guessed, but it does include some brief information on the three deals that were part of this arrangement. From the FAQ, quote, "What are you announcing?" Answer, "Novell and Microsoft are announcing a historic bridging of the divide between open source and proprietary software. They have signed three related agreements which, taken together, will greatly enhance interoperability between Linux and Windows and give customers greater flexibility in their IT environments. Under a technical cooperation agreement, Novell and Microsoft will work together in three primary areas to deliver new solutions to customers: virtualization, web services management, and document format compatibility. Under a patent cooperation agreement, Microsoft and Novell provide patent coverage for each other's customers, giving customers peace of mind regarding patent issues. Finally, under a business cooperation agreement, Novell and Microsoft are committing to dedicate marketing and sales resources to promote joint solutions." End quote. Now, this agreement would seem to be a tacit acknowledgement by Microsoft that Linux is the real deal, has changed the rules of the game fundamentally, and is here to stay. Moving on to what was actually gained by both sides. For Novell, they're getting some increased exposure, which they desperately need right now. They're getting a resale deal for SLES, a quote from the FAQ, "Microsoft will distribute as part of a resale arrangement approximately 70,000 coupons for SUSE Linux Enterprise Server maintenance and support per year," end quote. And I'm not exactly sure what they mean by coupons there. And Novell also gets, along with that, the recommendation of SLES by Microsoft if you're interested in running Linux in a Microsoft Windows environment. And this could be key for their revenue and sales here. I quote from the FAQ, quote, "For customers who have a significant Windows investment and want to add Linux to their IT infrastructure, Microsoft will recommend SUSE Linux Enterprise for Windows Linux solutions," end quote. So like I said, that's a direct recommendation from Microsoft if you're interested in running Linux in your Windows environment. And I would guess a lot of people, if they're a mostly Windows shop and they're on the fence about which Linux distribution to run, that will pretty much tip the scales in favor of SLES. Additionally, their customers get patent protection for Samba, Mono, and OpenOffice. Moving to Microsoft, they get increased exposure for .NET through Mono, which should serve to help them compete better with Java in the enterprise space. And while .NET has gotten some uptake on the web side, it really has not gotten much uptake at all in the enterprise space. And with Java now moving to be open sourced, I think Microsoft wants to get in while the getting's good. And I see this as an opportunity for them to do that. They also get broader acceptance of the OpenXML document format, which could help them keep some of the government contracts they may lose if OpenXML isn't broadly accepted. And that's a story I've covered widely on the podcast in the past. The companies will also be working together on virtualization, which looks to just be a huge market going forward, so I would guess there's revenue there for both of them. And they've also built a collaboration framework, which will allow them to work together more easily moving forward. As part of the deal, Microsoft also agreed to extend those earlier patent agreements to all non-commercial individuals. So while it won't cover, say, Red Hat's customers, if you're an individual hacker just at home hacking on code, it should cover you from the way that I read it. As for how the street took the news, shares of Novell spiked almost 15% on the news, and they're down about 1% as of now in after-hours trading. Red Hat dropped about 2% on the news, and it dropped an additional 3% or so in after-hours. The news had almost zero impact on Microsoft. There was no spike at all at any time during the day related to the news or not related to the news. It should be interesting to see how both Red Hat and Sun react to this in the coming days. It should also be interesting to see how the open source community reacts to the news over the next 48 hours or so, especially in regard to Novell. The open source community is definitely a group that can be fickle at times, and certainly one that isn't overly trusting of Microsoft. The last two stories I covered here are definitely something I'll keep you updated on in the future podcasts. That's all I have for now, but thanks for listening.